and in honor of Houston, all together. One, two, three. Well.
We That's don't have terrible. It down as good as he does.
That's terrible, is it? Houston's obviously not here. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, show number 194. 194. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How do they do it?
I don't know.
Houston is not with us today. He's under the weather. In fact, he's in hospital. And that's a new thing. We don't know anything about it. His heart got to beating a little bit fast, and he figured, actually, the reason he's not here is sickness. He was sick of us, I think. But he's in hospital, and we'll give you details if that remains a fact. I figure they'll let him go. Let's get his heart stabilized and let him go.
Oh, yeah, that's a good possibility.
What do you think? That's you know, that...
Well, I mean, if you come from Burke and you call in an ambulance, and so you're down there stranded, will they send you home in an ambulance?
Probably not.
Probably not.
In other words, how would he get home? That's
how
what you're thinking.
How would he get home, yeah. I mean,
I have no idea. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe he'll call. We'll run get him.
Yeah, we could. Anyway, live from the Little.
Welcome to the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive. It's the Blind Handyman with Don Patterson.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
And, of course, Don Shaw.
It's that time again, isn't it?
And I would be Phil Parr. I'm the creator and inventor and I'm the decider.
Yeah.
The great decider.
Anyway, yep. we feel kind of lost to that old Houston. You
There's
know?
A commercial, the dad says, I'm the finisher. You know, finish your teeth, finish this, finish that. The kids are all, you know, getting ready to go. He's the finisher.
Yeah, the finisher.
Sounds about right.
The decider. That's who it is. Anyway, I don't know what we're going to talk about today, but we're here, and we have Dan Rossi as our guest. We have him all Skyped up and ready to...
Going to tell us about his big recent floor project, putting down that hardwood flooring, Pergo flooring, yeah.
I think he was doing oak.
Is it Pergo?
Pergo or something in one of the synthetics. But I think didn't we not talk to Dan when he started this?
We did.
Was it not going to be oak?
I'm not sure. Yeah, tongue and groove.
Because I was wondering, I have never in my life been able to drive a nail in oak anything.
It's going to be an interesting
topic.
Man,
that's little finishing nails. I guess you could use a little. I would love to hear what he's got to say.
Didn't we talk him into buying a tacker, some kind of little finishing nail
gun?
I
guess he's going to tell us all about it. It seemed like we mentioned that.
I think there was a big discussion on the list about him, about them taking up the old flooring, and I think that turned out to be quite a
project
that
was
in
a
itself.
Project. But then, no, I thought they decided to put it down on top of it. And then we suggested at that time, if it was uneven, that maybe you would do a subfloor of plywood over that to kind of smooth it out. Didn't we get
We're
going to
find out what they decided on because it's been done. So.
He should have all the pertinent
all the gory detail
information. But you know, you put it down, it's once you get through, it's like purgatory.
You're right.
Yeah. That's probably about it.
Purgatory. Do Catholics still believe that?
I don't know.
I think they are. They're still Catholics.
They're still Catholics.
No,
yeah, I think they do. I think there are, and they do.
Surely by now somebody's been there and come back, haven't they?
They've
discount that theory. I guess not. Maybe not. Anyway, here we are, the Blind Handy Man, and Don. Let's see. I think you mentioned that you had something we could
two things
pertinent subject.
Two things. Okay, and this time in. I guess in the absence of Tom Hughes, I was going to say in the honor of him, but in the absence of him, we don't not collect any email or little list messages to read. But I had a thing, a common thing that would be common to all of us who do projects. I've just finished a plumbing situation, and I went wondering, kind of musing to myself, you know, what is the best way to cut PVC pipe? And
I got the answer.
Well, I've got a couple too, but I'll take your answer.
Okay, but you want it now or later?
Well, you can do now.
The best way to cut PVC pipe, if it's small PVC pipe, they make a clamp cutter that you just put the PVC pipe in and clamp down on it like scissors. Choom! I've got one.
Okay.
Also, they make, of course, the one that you put on and you clamp it down, and then you turn it around and around the pipe,
and like
it cuts
a wheel.
Cuts a little groove in the pipe, and eventually, chick, your pipe's cut.
That's the kind I've seen.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, there's several ways to cut the pipe, and depending on the diameter.
Yes.
And on our program before, everybody's talked about, you know, having a miter saw. your electric miter saw,
yeah,
and or a hand miter saw. And I'll tell you this, on the smaller versions, the miter box, the wooden miter box from a hand setup, and that is about as good as any, and it almost guarantees a straight cut, especially half inch.
Boy, it would.
Half inch pipe or left, in other words, and when I say less, because half inch hot water PVC is a smaller outside diameter than regular half inch pipe. Okay, you can use your electric saw, but depending on if it has a real rough blade, you know, if it has a fine blade, I would use it. If not, it will chip and shatter.
Yeah.
I do not recommend it.
If you had a real fine plywood blade or something, I bet it'd work great.
But also, clamps can be the real key here. If you can hold it straight, you can use like your saber saw, your reciprocating saw, we call them, with the right blade.
Yeah.
But anyway, then Phil mentioned the little vise, the little grip that you turn. It's mm-hmm. like a little clamp, a little C clamp with wheels on it. And this is a carryover from pipe, real big pipe cutters that you use to cut galvanized pipe.
I think that's what it's probably made for.
It was probably based on.
You're probably supposed to change the cutting blade to cut PVC pipe. I never have, but anyway.
Well, no, but yours is probably small enough to where it was made just as a tube cutter.
Yeah.
And then Phil mentioned the scissor thing, which I'm not sure I've seen, but I borrowed from our good friends Abney and Son the other day,
yeah,
a device that is neat, and it's good probably for about an inch and a half pipe and down size.
Yeah.
And it's about the size of a rather large handheld staple gun. It has a trigger mechanism and a little guard that you put your hand through this trigger thing. you lay the pipe in this slot that's cut out round. And as you squeeze the trigger, this ratchets this blade. And so the first pull, it gets it up against the pipe.
Ah.
And then you squeeze it again. And it literally just presses this blade through this pipe.
Yep.
And I in about four snaps, I cut a one-inch pipe. Just boom, boom, boom,
wow,
boom.
Now that's
and
pretty cool.
And the neat thing, as opposed to the little clamp, the vise that Phil was talking about, the little clamp that you rotate.
Yeah.
It leaves an edge that if you've ever noticed, if you've ever cut a piece of pipe, you'll have kind of a raised edge from that blade, and you have to sand it, and of course, when I do PVC pipe, I always have a piece of medium to rough sandpaper in my pocket because I do the joints before I glue them.
Yeah.
Oh, especially on larger pipe, they recommend it, but anyway, this little gizmo that I'm talking about left no rough edge. I mean, and now it was a little difficult in keeping it perfectly straight, but the slant on it, if you did cut it crooked, wasn't near as bad. Like if you just tried a freehand with a handsaw, like a hacksaw, for me, and I'm partially sighted, is the worst way in the world to cut PVC pipe because I always get it crooked.
Yeah, it'll get crooked one way or the other.
You don't have a clamp to hold it. For some reason, trying to keep that hacksaw straight is just difficult.
Yep.
This, of all of the cuts, I must have made 10 cuts and did 10 joints yesterday gluing. I didn't have anything so crooked that I had to go redo.
Yeah.
Now, if I do cut something real crooked, I have a grinder that a handheld grinder that I put up and kind of can flatten that edge down, but anyway, that was it's just the neatest thing. They cost about $20, and I think if it's kind of like a little handheld guillotine, except it goes sideways.
So
instead of the blade coming down, you just lay your pipe. You don't have any clamp.
Oh, the pipe stands up.
No, the pipe it's horizontal. Say you lay it on your knee or something, and you put this thing up from the bottom, and as you pull it up, it lays down in this little cradle, the pipe does, but now it's not clamped in there. And then as you pull the trigger, it ratchets the blade out till it gets a firm grip on it, and then you just pull it about three times, and it'll just snip that pipe right
what
in
is
half.
What is the largest piece of pipe it'll cut?
This one, the particular one I borrowed, we decided might do an inch and a half. Did inch. I was working with 1-inch pipe, and man, I mean zap, zap, zap.
So with a 3-inch piece of pipe,
that would be a major investment. You know, I mean, you wouldn't want to. I don't think you. I think you're back to the saw and a clamp. Get you some C clamps and clamp your 3-inch pipe, you know, without breaking it to your.
Have any idea how big
the miter box saw with the plywood blade would work good for that for the dirt pipe, wouldn't it?
Well, the miter saw, yeah, with a good blade.
Yeah,
I wouldn't use a rough cut blade, you know, that would chip the pipe. But also, you know, on 3-inch pipe until you get down to the very minimum, like. In fact, we ran my drain pipe 140 feet out of 3-inch pipe, but really there wasn't but about 3 cuts to be made.
How'd you make them?
Well, I mean, they did it. He did it. The plumber guy did it with his reciprocating saw with a good blade on it. In other words, and the pipe laid on the ground, and he kind of put his foot on it. Like
a, boy, now that's something you could get crooked if you were a blind guy.
You know, believe it or not, though, not as bad as a hacksaw because the reciprocating saw has a bumper that you put up against your stock.
That would help.
That
would help.
And then
with a hacksaw, I could never. That's why I bought my first table saw, because I can't cut a straight line with anything.
Yeah, you have no reference point.
The problem with the hacksaw is sometimes the blade wobbles from side to side.
Oh, it can go either way.
And so I sit there sometimes trying to gauge my straightness from the frame of the saw, and yet the blade is slightly cocked to one side, and so. I do not do well.
Yeah, but a little old hacksaw, if you want to cut a piece of aluminum tubing in two, that's the thing to use, kid.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
for PVC pipe, you'd be better off with this. I'd like to see the steel you borrowed.
Well, if for $20 or so, it was the neatest thing I've ever. I mean, it took all of the. Even sawing with a. You know, I use a rip saw. Just a carpenter's rip saw cuts PVC very good. But
Mr. Cheapo, you borrowed it. You didn't buy one
there. Well, that was Jeffrey Abney's decision. He said, well, there's no use to buy one. In fact, he didn't have one in stock. He said, I'll just loan you mine. Of course, then when we went back, Paul was down there bitching about it. I've been looking for that cutter. That Paul's Jeff's dad, so.
I know.
All right, so anyway. Now.
All right, let me just add one more thing.
Okay.
You're going to get off PVC pipe?
Yeah, I'm going to change.
Copenhaver. We all know my friend Chris Copenhaver, who lives down the street. He and John are big buds. And Chris, okay, anything you want to build. If you want to build something, you call Chris and say, I want to build a set of steps Sunday afternoon. He'll show up Sunday afternoon and help you do it. And thinks nothing about it. Real good about that kind of thing, and a real nice guy. But Jeff Grubbs was telling us, we saw him in Walmart or someplace, and he said he went to the lake house, and Chris was putting a shower. In fact, Chris borrowed my circular thing that goes on the end of a drill to drill holes in the wall. He said Chris was gluing his PVC pipe, and Chris said, you don't need that primer. All you need is the glue. And he said every damn joint he glued leaked.
Oh, man.
So you do need the primer.
That's a disaster.
Those two mixing together is the catalyst that makes the PVC, that glues the PVC pipe together. Chris, you know, stubborn crowd, I don't need that.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what may have happened to him, too, because believe it or not, in the old days, I've glued 1,000 joints of PVC without pipe cleaner, the primer or the cleaner. I mean, and I have. But I'll tell you what you don't know, I mean, what a lot of people don't think about. And I got into the situation is if your glue has been exposed to real cold weather, even in an outside storage building. You know, we got down in the 20s here. Well, it just curdled the glue. The glue is no good after that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but the primer, is the thing that comes with a little can and a little lid that's got a little brush on the lid, right?
It's supposed to be a cleaner.
So you clean that pipe. What does it take, 10 seconds to clean the pipe?
Oh, no, I agree with you, but I'm going to say he may have gotten in because I had two cans of glue, one new one and one that I'd used out of, great big gallon
it
thing.
On you, did it?
Well, no, I guess somebody had left it anyway. I have one joint on my 3-inch pipe I glued 3 times, and it would not take. And then finally I got the cleaner and sandpaper, and I did it, and I got the new glue. I finally, Donna, I said, it held. But so that could be, yes, the cleaner's very important. And it like you say, it doesn't take time, and also they tell you on bigger joints to use sandpaper.
Thought the cleaner and the glue were some sort of, maybe I'm thinking about.
You're thinking about epoxy.
J.B. Weld.
No, epoxy where you mix two A and B part too.
Go ahead and do your second thing and we'll call Daniel in a minute. Go ahead.
Donald?
All right, government regulations.
Oh.
How many of you people, my favorite gasoline can, the nozzle broke. plastic nozzle. It was just one. You filled it 5 gallons of gasoline, and you got ready to fill up your little lawnmower. You took the cap off the end of the nozzle, and you picked the can up. Well, now anymore, you can't buy that anymore. You have to buy the leak-proof gasoline can with the leak-proof nozzle.
Really?
I have one. All right, two things on your old can.
And they won't fill up your old can.
Well, your old can is it had a breather valve, a little thing
right
on the end.
On the other side of the can, yep.
New cans don't.
Strange.
And this leak-proof thing, you have to lift the can up in such a way that you put down this. There's this thing that clips over the edge of whatever you're trying to fill, and then it forces the nozzle down into itself and allows the gasoline to come out. On a small lawnmower, by the time you get that situated, I have spilt more gas, is my complaint, using the no-spill spouts than I had from my old spill, and you cannot buy one. I went to Abney's thinking they had something old that they had never sold. The government makes them do it, and it's the worst. If anyone has any suggestions, I've gone to eBay. There's a guy that had some spouts, and there's the old...
Wait a minute. You're fixing to join the list. They can just send them to the list.
The old metal jerry cans from the military.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that... I mean, if you can get one of those. I bought here not too long ago some diesel fuel cans that did not have this, and if I can find some more of them, I'm going to get one and paint it red for gasoline, but I cannot use
walking to the gas station with my daddy, and a jug that looked like that jug my wine comes in.
You can't
had a little
that.
Finger and filled that sucker up with kerosene and brought it home and lit his heater.
Yeah,
a glass jug of kerosene.
That was before the first riots in L.A.
That was a long, long time ago. Just had this glass jug. I'll just get this full of kerosene and just pick it up off the shelf. That's the one I usually do it with. And we walked to the service station. Got his old. This was Sunday morning, probably 1946.
Yeah. Well, you don't do that anymore.
Nah. Times have changed.
All right, let's call Uncle Dan and find out this purgatory floor that he put in, find out what that's all about. Tom Houston is absent. Don Shaw and Don Patter here, and I'm Phil Parr. Be right back. Hang on. With the Blind Handyman Show, Don Shaw and Don Patton, myself, and along with Dan Rossi.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's all right. Listen,
doing good.
I need you to look on your calendar, and I need you to set aside the day of, let me think when it is, 12:30, whatever it is, the day of the 19th of October.
19th of October.
That should be, let's see. Is that going to be 19th of October?
I think that's what we might have decided.
19th of October, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Get out of here.
No.
What are you going to be doing here?
I'm coming to see you. Coming to see you in Boone.
Yeah.
Check out the deck. And Luann and I, along with my friend Giovanna Harris, we're going to be in Mansfield, Ohio. So we said, hell, what the hell? Mansfield,
all right.
Mansfield ain't that far from Pittsburgh. We're going to ride over on the, it'll be a Saturday. So
okay.
maybe it'll be the 20th. Anyway, we're going to ride over to Pittsburgh and spend a few hours with Dan Rossi, spend the night, and then fly home the next morning.
Wow, it sounds great.
It does, man. That's part of our little fall vacation, you know?
I'll be looking forward to it.
So put us on your calendar there. Anyway.
We'll do.
We've been talking, discussing off thing about your floor. Is it a finished, done deal?
No, not quite. It's pretty floor-like, but it's not completely done. No project is ever completely done, it seems.
There you go.
Well, that's true. It's pretty kind of floor-like. What does that mean?
Well, so far we have the hardwood is down up to the radiator. The cement board is in for where we're putting in the entranceway tile, ceramic tile. I still have to put in all of the moldings, the shoe moldings around the edges where the floor meets up with the wall.
Yeah.
And we are planning on tearing out the radiator. It's a big cast iron radiator, and it's a very small living room. So we're planning on tearing out that radiator and supplementing heat with a vent-free fireplace insert.
Okay, we talked about that, and that's all. You can't use wood because the fireplace is too small.
Yeah, the fireplace is very tiny. Was never really designed as a wood burner. It has an ancient gas line in there that I cut off, and so we're just going to stick one of these vent-free inserts in there and use that as supplemental heat, and that way we can put the floor all the way up to the wall without having to worry about working around a radiator, and we can claim about another 14 inches of floor space because the radiator is so large that it just projects into the room a lot. So in the room being so small, 14 inches of space actually makes a difference.
So, Dan, back on your fireplace, though, you will be going back to that natural gas line, right?
Well, I'll actually be running a new gas line for that. The gas line that was in there was, 80 years old, and it actually wasn't even attached to the current main gas line anymore.
Okay. Wow. So in other words, it's going to be natural gas as opposed to propane or something.
Yes, exactly.
Right,
there's natural gas in the house as well. In this part of the country, there's natural gas everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
right.
We heat with natural gas, and I cook with natural gas. So,
now this gas line is down in the basement, so you can see it. You can get to it, and
pretty easy to get to. I may have to because the fireplace actually sits outside the house. The firebox is actually not inside the house. I'll have to probably run the gas line outside and come in through the side or the back of the fireplace.
No big deal.
No, it shouldn't be too big a deal.
No big deal. But this radiator, now, are you heating the rest of the house with radiators or what?
Yeah, the whole house is, there are five cast iron radiators, hot water radiators in the house. One in the dining room, the living room, bathroom, and then each of the two bedrooms.
Well, how does that? You got a boiler system down in the basement?
Yep, in the basement there's an old boiler. Actually, not as old as some of my neighbors still have the original cast iron boilers. Mine's about 25 years old, and I think it's about up. I had some problems with it this winter. We had to do an emergency repair, but got it going. And so I think it may be time to get rid of that, too.
So, Dan, when you took this one radiator, or when you do take it out of the system, are these things done in series? I mean, how is this going to... Are you going to be able to get from radiator B to radiator D?
Yeah, without affecting...
I
spent a lot of time looking at the piping down there, and I'm not exactly sure why the system works. I see how it works, but I'm not sure why it works.
I hate that when that happens.
That's great.
Yeah. It's the radiators are in parallel, actually. There are two main branches that leave the furnace. One goes to the front of the house, or one set of pipes goes to the front of the house, and one set of pipes goes to the back of the house. And there's a large diameter pipe and a small diameter pipe that leave each side of the furnace.
Okay.
And then these things just kind of run up to one of the radiators, and then off of, you know, right in the middle of each of those pipes, there's another large pipe and small pipe that run off to the other radiator. And so I can just cut those pipes off there and cap them, and it may actually affect the heat flow, but it won't affect the water circulation. I mean, the circulation will still go up to the radiator upstairs and back down, but you'll probably be pushing a lot more heat that way, so I may have to make some other adjustments somewhere.
Well, this house, as I recall, isn't real big. What is it about? It's less than 2,000 square feet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 930 square feet on, you know.
Man, you'd think two radiators would heat it fine.
Well, you know? it actually is kind of annoying because the upstairs does get pretty warm, and so you can see from what somebody told me, it looks like the place was designed for the old-fashioned gravity heat or convection circulation, but the new boiler has a circulating pump, and that's probably why the upstairs gets hotter than it should. But I'm actually now, if I'm going to be yanking this radiator out, and especially if I'm going to be getting a new furnace, I'm probably going to be looking into other options like a high-efficiency side-mounted, wall-mounted furnace so I can move it out from under the chimney, which is, you know, kind of in the middle of the wall of the basement. So I can move the furnace to one end of the basement with the vent going out the wall, and then I may be able to break it out into two zones, smaller zones, so I could heat the upstairs and downstairs separately.
So you think steam-heated radiators, that's over? You're going to do away with that?
Well, no, it'll still be hot water. I like hot water, radiated heat. I mean, it's just I'm going to use a smaller, high-efficiency furnace, and I can, if I can separate the downstairs and the upstairs hot water loops, then I can actually have a thermostat downstairs and a thermostat upstairs and control them separately.
Which would be ideal.
Yeah, which would be the way. But, you know, of course, one of the reasons, as you know, I know you know this, but the course of heat rises. I mean, it goes up.
That tendency.
Yeah, it does. It goes that way. So
One nice thing I can see, if I'm thinking about this in the right way, one advantage to me of the hot water heat would be the radiators would be no fans, blowers to have to listen to,
exactly.
Which would be
that's
a plus.
That's one of the main reasons why I like hot water heat.
That'd be excellent.
Quiet.
Yeah, man, that'd be a big plus for
and
that.
It's so much fun to roast apples on those radiators. We used to do that. We were little kids, idiot kids. We didn't know any better. And some guy, there's always some idiot that left his on all night, and the next day it was just, oh, God, you know. This was the blind school. They had radiator heat.
Did they?
All right. So, yeah, didn't they when you were there?
No, they were gone by then.
Oh, well, that's right.
I missed that.
You came a little late.
Yeah.
This was back in the, back then.
I would like to see one of those. It'd be.
It was an interesting-looking deal, and I never could quite figure them out. But obviously they weren't serious because you could turn one off. I mean, you could, if one was turned off, it was just cold.
I've actually kind of seen one. They make a new oil type that's portable that you just plug in and it circulates some kind of oil through it, but it's like a radiator type thing.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen those too. They're electric oil heaters.
Yeah.
Well, but tell us about, did you do the floor, you and Teresa did the floor yourselves?
Yeah, we did. We decided that we wanted to put hardwood in there. There had been carpeting in there, so we came up with the idea and we went out and we bought some wood. And, pre-finished 3/4-inch oak tongue and groove boards. And we got the wood, brought it into the house, and then, you know, that was one weekend. We had to move all the furniture out of the living room and stuffed everything into the dining room.
Uh-huh.
And then we tore up the carpeting and found some scary-looking linoleum, old linoleum under there.
It had been there a long time.
It had been there a long time, and it was these giant sheets. It wasn't like the squares or anything. They were about six-foot-wide sheets of linoleum and rolled out the length of the room.
Yeah.
So we, the first thing I thought was asbestos. So I cut a square off. I found an asbestos analysis place, and I sent my little sample off to them, and it came back no asbestos. So
wait a minute. There are places you can do that. You send them a sample.
Yep.
And they'll tell you whether it has asbestos in it, right?
Yep. It costs $15.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a neat deal.
Neither did I.
God bless the internet. You know,
just
what a wonderful thing. So no asbestos. So you weren't any problem there. That cough you have was due to something else.
Yeah.
That means he had to let his lawyer go.
That's right.
He couldn't sue his realtor.
Yeah.
The backing of this this linoleum though was some kind of fibrous, fuzzy felt material, and it was kind of itchy,
not good.
Yeah, it was like insulation kind of fiberglass itchy feeling. Yeah. So we went out and we got ourselves the whole, you know, full suit, plastic suit with, you know, masks and hoods and booties and gloves. And,
you're kidding. Hazmat suit.
Full hazmat suit, and we tore this stuff out, and it took the whole weekend because, of course, after we tore all the linoleum up, all the fiber backing was still glued to the floor, and so we had to wet all that down and scrape it off.
What a job.
It was a backbreaking pain in the ass job.
No kidding.
Really?
Man.
In your hazmat suit.
I
love it. Do we have pictures you can put up somewhere?
We don't, but I really wish I could get some pictures of the neighbors' faces as I'm, like, hauling these contractor bags of stuff out of my house in hazmat suit.
Luann would like to see that. And Donna, we'd like to see that.
Yeah, we'll post them to the files section of the handyman list. Man.
All right, go ahead. And so you're down there sanding, scrubbing this. If you sand it, you really make a mess, don't you?
Yeah, we didn't sand it. We just kind of scraped it down with scrapers.
Oh,
and actually, whatever it was glued down with was pretty water soluble, so we were able to scrape it off pretty well. But then we went out and bought some quarter-inch hardboard underlayment. So then I got to go out and buy a pneumatic staple gun.
Good.
Yeah.
And stapled this plywood down to the floor to help even it out, because it was just these rough pine planks that were all pretty uneven. That was the actual floor. So we laid the plywood down to kind of smooth out the surface.
Okay, this is quarter-inch plywood, this little thin?
Yeah.
All right.
And I did go probably a little crazier than I had to with a staple gun, but it's so easy and so much fun.
You'd still be there if you were doing it. You know, my God, you think it's and you have a compressor.
Yes.
So this was just an addition. You need that, man. That's the deal.
Have.
That's right.
So we decided to start. The wall between the living room and dining room has a big archway in the wall, and the wall is actually about 20 inches deep, because on the one side there are built-in cabinets on the dining room side.
Okay.
So we decided to start the floor in that entranceway and then work our way into the living room. So I cut a bunch of pieces twice, of course, because I cut the wrong ends off the boards the first time.
Yeah.
And had them facing the wrong way. So cut the boards the second time, and then Teresa's brother had loaned us a floor stapler.
Okay, because you can't flip these over, and so you had to cut. I don't see how you cut them the wrong way. I mean, I don't see how you. I don't understand.
Well, what I was doing was it wasn't necessary, but I wanted to. I want to cut both ends off of the boards because they have a tongue on the ends of the boards or a tongue on one end.
I got you, Paul.
Yeah, okay,
I got you.
And what really happened was when I cut them, because you have to stagger the seams. You don't want two rows of boards having the
same seam in the same place.
And when I cut everything, I I had just lined everything up, and so I had like three rows that all had the seam in the same place. I had forgotten to move the boards, switch them around so that the left was on the right and the right was on the left.
Yeah, okay.
The short board was on one end.
Yeah. But you didn't mess up too many.
No. It was a couple of boards, not that big a deal.
Yeah.
So then we used this floor stapler, which is a beautiful device. You just sit it on top of the board, and it indexes to fire a staple in just above the tongue of the hardwood and then down on an angle through the board into the floor.
Really?
It's beautiful. And it has a big plunger on it, so it sits on the board, and then you whack this plunger with a hammer, like a mallet, and it fires the staple in, and it's really nice. But we got the first few rows all in, and then when we put the first row that was actually a full-length row in the living room, it wasn't straight. And so Teresa was saying I should just leave it because it was just off by enough where I had the nice quarter-inch gap on one side, but then it went up against the wall on the other side and of the entranceway. And she said, yeah, it's fine. And I wasn't convinced, so the next night I went home and tore it out with a crowbar and started over.
Well, you're going to put some sort of kick mold or shoe mold around there. Anyway, you'd never see it.
You'd never see it.
But then it would compound itself.
But I would have known.
It would have gotten worse.
It would compound itself. Every time you did one, the next one would be...
That's what I was worried, that, you know, we'd get out to the middle of the room and all of a sudden it would start to become more obvious.
Yeah, and that could have happened.
Which reminds us of remember the Don, you know what I'm going to tell.
Yeah.
Remember the walk Don and I built about a third of the way down, Don said, well, golly, somewhere or another we're not straight. Oh, well, we're really not. So we cut a couple boards and, my God, we made it. You know, it's a terrible looking walk, it looks like. I tell everybody, it looks like two drunk blind men built it.
Because
they did.
Yep.
You know, it's a great wall.
But, yeah, that'll happen.
Anyway.
So I tore it all out and I put it in again. And then it was straight. And then we started one weekend. We just started going at it. Teresa was lining up the boards for me and cutting the ends off, you know, to fit the last board in. And I was just going along with this pneumatic floor staple and just pounding in staples. And it went... quite
good teamwork
quickly.
There.
Taking out your frustrations, pounding in.
Exactly.
Staples, and then I love it.
There were still more issues where we would, a couple of places around the fireplace where we had to cut, I had to notch some boards too, because they were to get to the corners of the fireplace and such. And those took a couple of tries with the router and just trying to get a nice even notch so that everything lined up well, and had to tear a board out a couple of times and put one back, but eventually got them all in.
How big a staple are you using?
It's a 2-inch staple. It's going through, you know, on an angle through 3/4 of an inch, or well, probably about 1/2 inch of oak, 1/4 inch of the plywood, and then 3/4 inch of pine.
I bet you it was
an angle.
I bet you it was a job taking that out.
Well, they are designed not to come out too easily.
Yeah.
Right.
And crowbars. And what was usually happening is the crowbar would just shred the wood, and then the staple would still be in.
And you'd have to get some sort of something to put it under the staple and lift. Yeah.
They screamed coming out, man. They would screech pretty good because they do not like to come out.
Boy, and these oak boards that you used are not cheap. I mean, they don't give this stuff away by any means.
No.
You know, it's
What are the dimensions of the stock before y'all cut it? What are you dealing with here?
So they come in these boxes, and each board is 2 1/4 inches wide and 3/4 inch thick, and then the lengths are anywhere from about 6 inches to 7 feet long.
So they're random
Whoa.
Lengths.
Yes, they're
box.
All random lengths. And,
okay.
And I mean, they did, in each box you would find, you know, maybe about 5 or 6 different lengths. And then, you know, from box to box you might actually have different sets of six different lengths.
That's to keep your seams
staggered.
Staggered.
Yeah.
It's like laying bricks. You know, every other row, you know. Yeah.
Right. And you know, at first, you know, when you're first looking at it, you're trying to plan things out. And then after a while, you realize, you know, it's just stupid trying to plan it out. You take them and slap them in.
Take them as you get them.
Yeah, take them, and if it's one's a little up. Now, you have a chop saw of some sort, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a miter saw. That sucker came in really handy.
Did you go ahead and bring it upstairs? Or were you running up and down?
Did
you? You finally? Yeah, I bet that didn't last long. That running up and down those stairs, did it?
No. I did enough of that just, you know, when I was working on the small pieces where I was using my router to notch some of the boards. I was running up and down the stairs quite a bit.
Did you buy a special blade for your saw doing that oak?
I mean, yeah. Well, I bought a fine blade so that it wouldn't rip it up too much, and the blade is pretty much shot by now.
Yeah, oak is tough on saw
blades.
Yeah.
Well, you think that's tough? So we left an area in front of the front door where we didn't put wood because we wanted to put ceramic tile. And I actually, of course, I wanted to make it harder on myself. So instead of just putting a square or a rectangular opening there, I it kind of comes out straight and then angles over so that I had to do a little fancy work. Of course, I just let the boards run wild into that area, and then I went back with my circular saw and cut the opening that I actually wanted. And then I had to put some cement board down in there, and 'cause you can't put the mastic for the ceramic tile directly on the plywood. You have to put it on this Hardy Backer cement board stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's what I found out after asking around. So I also asked, well, what do I use to cut this stuff? And the guy in Home Depot said, oh, you know, they have these special blades, but they're really expensive.
Well, you need a water saw. Water saw.
They actually have other blades. I actually found blades specifically meant for cutting cement board or fiber board. But he convinced me to just buy a fine blade, multi-purpose fine blade. He said, if you're only going to be making a few cuts, just use this and then throw it away when you're done. I said, okay, so I set up my first cut, and I spent a lot of time setting up this cut, and I go to cut it, and my circular saw is bogging down, and it's slow, and, you know, the lights are probably dimming. And
yeah, probably so. That's great, I love it.
I finally get through it, and, you know, and I lay the board in, and it's pretty much a perfect fit, except the edge of the board is a little wavy. I'm like, how could it be wavy? I'm running along a straight edge. There's no way it could be wavy. Well, I went and made another cut for another board, and the saw is bogging down even worse. And I look at the edge of the board, then, and it's noticeably wavy. And I guess what was happening was the saw was having so much trouble getting through the cement board. Yeah. The blade started flexing, and it was just chewing up the edge of the board, the edge of my guide, everything.
Wow.
And so I went out back to Home Depot, and I said, look, I want a, you know, diamond-plated uranium blade that can cut through an engine block.
Titanium blade. Yeah, really?
Heavy duty.
All right.
That's when I found the cement board, cement board blade. And when I used that, the saw didn't even blink.
Really?
I thought I wasn't even cutting through because it didn't even slow down.
Now, you're wow. cutting ceramic tile with this blade in your saber saw, skill saw.
This is not the ceramic tile. This is just the cement.
This is just the stuff that goes under the tile.
Right.
Good Lord.
Well, you know, it must be similar to Hardy plank.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because you need a special blade, even special nails, you know, to put the siding, the Hardy plank siding. It's really just concrete. And,
Yep.
Yeah. So what? How did this board come? The cement board, was it in sheets or in?
Yeah, it came in 3x5, 3-foot by 5-foot sheets, which was pretty much exactly the wrong size. But
it always is.
Not pretty much, but exactly the wrong.
But I did manage to get it in, and I will admit that the last board which I fit in was an amazing job of cutting of craftsmanship. It was going from inside the closet. It basically had to fill the floor of the closet and then come out around the jams of the closet, and the inside of the closet was very not square. And
yeah.
So I laid a big sheet of paper in there and cut it out with a razor all around the edges and all around the jams, and then I set up my saw guide on the edge of the paper, and it took me several minutes to get the board in once I had it cut because it fit so perfectly. I was flexing it because I had to slide under the jam here and there, and I'll tell you what, there isn't a 16th of an inch gap anywhere.
Didn't that make you feel good?
It does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going out and getting the neighbors, hey, you got to look at this, man.
Yeah.
What was Teresa doing? Making a pot of coffee, or what was she doing?
Yeah, well, she was getting mad because, I was trying to, there were easier ways I could have done it by cutting it in several segments or something, but I just wanted one board in there.
And you did it.
And I did it.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked well. Yeah. It definitely worked.
When those things work well, you feel great. When they don't, you feel like.
Yeah. I did waste one board, but it wasn't too expensive, so I kind of think of it this way. A friend of mine pointed this out to me. He said, I don't know how to do a lot of this stuff, and some of it I have to do twice because I screw it up. But even if I do it twice, it's still a lot cheaper than hiring a contractor to do it.
Oh,
well, that's
much cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so you've got this backing board down. Now we have to put the ceramic tile down. That's what you cut with the wet saw.
Well, yes, and I haven't started that. We have the tile now, And I did convince Teresa to let me get a finishing nail gun so I could do the shoe moldings around the edges, but she wouldn't let me get the wet saw, so I have to rent that one.
I've never worked with a wet saw. I don't know any, but you might write the list about that and get some tips on. My brother-in-law rented one, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, I could probably do this, but I didn't know if I had the nerve.
So my brother used one, and my brother's not a handyman at all, and a friend of his was helping him do their bathroom floor, and he said the wet saw was the most amazing thing because it's an abrasive wheel, and he said you can actually touch the wheel while it's spinning, and it won't cut you.
Well, yeah, but it gets hot. That's why the water. The water cools it.
I think it's kind of like a radial arm, doesn't it? The saw blade travel, because you're really cutting straight edges.
Right.
So I don't know if it has. I just had some tile work done, and they had a wet saw. And it has a pan that stays with water, and then I couldn't tell if the saw was actually on a track that they pull the.
I don't know, and it may be that there are either kind, one that you feed the tile through and one that you pull the saw across.
Yeah.
But I'll take a look at one. My brother-in-law says they're pretty easy to work with, so.
Boy, I would sure have second thoughts about that touching that blade. I may have to get a test person to you tell me.
A tester. Experiment.
Well, that would be like when I first got my talking multimeter. I went the first place I figured I should test it. The most obvious place was either a battery, which I didn't have on me, or stick it in the outlet. So I slid one of the probes into the outlet, and then I lost my nerve and said, hey, Teresa, take this other probe and stick it in another socket.
And she did.
And there was a long pause, but yeah, she did.
And you pushed the button, and it read 114 volts, right?
Exactly.
But, I'll bet somebody on the list has done this wet saw stuff before, some blind person.
Probably.
Because it's the only way to cut tile.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess you can do that score and snap thing, but I don't think that works all that well.
The tile guys do that all the time. I mean, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Like bricklayers. They just bust a brick in two, and they got the size they want.
See, I think that works really well when you have been doing it for a long time.
That's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah, that's always. I mean, that's the secret with all of this. I mean,
Are you keeping a journal of this or not?
It's a big part of it is just learning how to do it and getting the right tools. I mean, I learned that yet again with the stupid saw blade. I should have just spent the money and got the expensive saw blade and used it.
And instead of screwing up a couple
with it, yeah.
Exactly. Instead of screwing up a piece of board.
Well, Dan, also, I guess I know we've talked with you before, but I forgot the layout of you. Is your home a freestanding home, or is it like a row house or a condo or a?
It's a row house. It's an end unit on a four house block.
Okay.
Of townhouses.
Okay. And so the fireplace, I was curious, you talked about it stuck out, and obviously there was a chimney. Can you, are you going to put your new unit kind of in that existing little crevice there that outside?
Yeah, exactly. The, these we were looking at these vent-free fireplace inserts, and they just slide into an existing fireplace. They actually, I mean, I was amazed about these things, but they will, they have versions that are freestanding fireplaces. They have a mantle built around them. They have ones that just hang on the wall. They have other ones you can slide into your fireplace. So yeah, this one's just going to slide right in there and kind of just fill the fireplace.
You know, they got into this ventless. They've sort of really got it down to a science with the gas logs. You know, first you have to have vented, and then they've come up with the ventless where people, anybody, I mean, if you have any kind of fireplace at all, or I guess no fireplace, you could use these ventless.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, when I told my dad about it, he freaked out. You know,
he said you'll die.
Yeah, I see carbon monoxide.
Yeah, the fumes are going to kill you. Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah, but it really seems like they've got it worked out. So, and I know now I know like several people who have them, and I'm pretty comfortable with the idea.
But you don't have to worry about this till next September.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, exactly.
Pretty much.
Although, apparently, it's 75 outside right now, and it's supposed to snow on Thursday.
Whoa, man.
Let's see, the 19th will be of October will be a Friday. And so I think we're coming either Friday afternoon or Saturday morning. So the 19th and 20th of October, just, you know, don't have anything to do and keep those open and find a good restaurant. We're coming.
Yeah, definitely.
Coming to Pittsburgh.
You can come out and you'll check out. You can see the floor. You can see the deck, hopefully, by then.
Yeah, you can sit on the deck and
the discarded
have a beer. Drink a cold one.
And the discarded radiator that you could use here in a day or two.
Yeah.
Well, we'll need a good restaurant. We're going to fly home from Pittsburgh back to Houston. So that's the plan.
Fantastic.
We're coming to see y'all. Now, how far is Boop from you?
Boop is not far at all. She's only about less than 40 minutes. She and I have gotten together before to go kayaking, so we'll definitely make sure that Boop and Tom are here.
Well, I'll email him if he's busy and can't do it. We'll go get her. We'll just pick her up.
I may even come with him.
Love to have you, Don.
Sounds fun.
If you want to go,
everybody's welcome. We'll have a mini Houston gathering in Pittsburgh.
Well, we're going to fly into Boston, and we're going to pick up. We're going to see my friend Will Hudgens, who plays in the Boston Symphony, and we're going to pick up Tim and Cheryl and rent a van and go up to Vermont and spend 2-3 nights.
Nice.
And then come back and take a train to Toledo and then go up see Luann's Aunt Susan. Then we're going to see my aunts in Mansfield, and from Mansfield it's on to Pittsburgh.
Excellent. I can't wait, Phil.
Well, you round up 10 or 12 people there, Dan, and you'll beat Houston.
I mean, goodness. Anyway, we're going to go, and good luck with your floor, and we'll talk to you in a day or two, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank you, Dan.
Take it easy, guys.
Late day.
My phone is ringing. Let me go answer that. We're here, Don, the two Dons and Phil on the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. Be right back.
Should have the same information concerning United States currency as their sighted brethren.
Now, if you think this is a great idea, thanks to the American Council of the Blind, there is something you can do. You'll find a screen reader friendly site and an online petition waiting for you at www.moneyforall.info. That's www.money4all.info. Come be a part of history with the American Council of the Blind. www.moneyforall.info.
Well, that's about it for this week. We've about done it. Let's see the theme. What would that be if I could
find
we're getting the button?
Close here.
Theme.
Another minute or so, and it'll be time for the old theme.
Oh, it's not time yet?
Not quite.
Oh,
but
let
soon,
me stop it.
But
good
soon.
Heavens. How do we do it?
You cannot unring the bell.
I just unring it.
Kind of like an undelete. Huh.
You can't unring the bell. Well, we hope Tom Houston gets better. Everybody think about Thomas out there. And
I'm hoping that they'll just give him so that he just was just a little flutter. Gordon, I think, has that same kind of his irregular heartbeat. They call it defibrillate.
Right.
Is that a good word?
That sounds good to me.
And maybe they'll just do that and send that boy home if we need him. He hadn't been here in a month.
He's been a while. Yeah, the weather kind of gets him, and but we're kind of hoping. I mean, his health seems kind of down a little bit, but maybe he'll be back with us.
Hopefully he'll be back next week. I guess now, Don.
Yep,
right?
It's time.
Now, it is time to start. There we go. The songs are running.
Oh, I didn't hear the bell that time.
Time
ring
to start. Ring the bell. Or hang on.
Now.
There it is. There it is.
Group one.
Yeah.
Abby Young. With you.
Wonder when she passed
just,
on.
Who cares? As long as she passed on. Oh, what a mean old woman she
passed
was.
Passed on instead of passing through.
Yeah, she was a mean old woman. Her and Miss Bratton. I talked to her. We did Marilyn Brandt the other day on Blind Like Me, and she had Miss Bratton, and I had Miss Young. You put them in a basket and pour them out, and you couldn't tell the difference. Mean
That's
old women.
True.
Anyway, I need to get over that, don't I? Anyway. It's been a good show. Dan Rossi's just such a easy person to talk to. Dan Rossi lives in both worlds. Of course, he lives in a sighted world, but he also lives in a blind world. He combines the two about as well as any blind person I've ever run across.
Yep, I agree with that.
He's a smooth operator. Always on top of everything. He says we're not too far from having a barcode reader in our cell phones.
Yeah, that's going to be, man, that is going to be neat, isn't it?
That's
going to open a whole new...
That's going to be quite a breakthrough.
Yes, it will.
But you'll still have to put down your oak floor by yourself.
Right. Yeah, you'll still have that to do.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes, Teresa's not going to help. No, she did help. She worked, but she let him buy some tools, which
yeah,
I
what a project.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he mentioned pneumatic staplers and stuff.
Yeah,
man. I would like
stuff.
To see the thing he borrowed from his brother.
I would too.
Too. Yeah,
I would
it
too.
It must
That's
sit
true.
On the last board down, and then
yeah, kind of hang on the last
there.
Board down, and then.
Yeah, just
yeah,
right
that'd
in
be
that.
Neat.
See,
yeah.
When I put up my pine ceiling, that's what I was faced with. Being able to staple right in the perfect
yeah.
spot.
Well, it obviously does it. It judges by the last board you put down.
How neat.
All right, we got to go. Thank you, Don Pat.
Loved it.
Thank you, Don Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see you all next week for 195, coming up on 200. Thank you much. I'm Phil Parsi. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.